We were discussing yesterday that the Nefesh HaChaim explains that we have immense abilities, or we can have an immense impact upon the world around us, the physical world, the spiritual world, with our actions, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu implanted within us a chelek elokam imal, as the pasuk says in Sefer Iyov, and as the Sefer HaTanya writes in Perek Beis, it's a chelek elokam imal mamish. It's literally a piece of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that was implanted within every human being, and this is represented by the fact that one of the images that's engraved upon the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kisei HaKavod, is none other than the image of a human being. Because we are manifestations, as it were, in a certain diluted fashion, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within the world. And therefore, we have immense influence with our actions. And in that context, the Nefesh HaChaim writes something which I think has far-reaching implications, that in this sense, since the neshama, or the inner essence of a person, is really something that's entirely divine and emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the guf, the physical body, which houses the neshama, is kind of like a shell, which he describes as a nal, as a shoe. Just like a person can't walk outside without wearing shoes, you know, somewhat of a foreign environment, and he could harm his sensitive, soles of his feet. So too, ki'ilu, the neshama is a very sensitive spiritual entity, and in order for us to encounter this physical world, we need a kind of protective shell or barrier between us and the physical world to allow our neshama to interact within the world. Mashal amad davar daima is like when the astronauts have to come back into the atmosphere of the Earth. They have to be protected by some kind of special material that will be able to withstand the heat of reentry. And so too, as the neshama enters into the world, it needs a kind of a shell that will protect it from the heat of the atmosphere, or the harmful aspects, the destructive elements of the atmosphere. And in order to do that, we have Kadosh Baruch Hu provided us with a guf. So in that sense, the guf is like a shoe, like a nal, that protects our spiritual parts of ourselves, and the chelek elokam imal mamish. So the Nefesh HaChaim doesn't explain it here, but in his Ruach Chaim, at the beginning of his parish of Masech Lesavas, there are footnotes from his son. So his son explains, based on this concept, that the guf is compared to a nal, to a shoe, that's why when a person, like Aleinu, loses a relative, so what is one of the practices of Avelos is to remove a person's shoes. And why is that? Because when a person is observing Avelos for a relative, Loyaleinu, he's recognizing the fact that the guf has become separated from the neshama, and therefore he takes off his shoes in recognition of that unfortunate reality that has occurred to him. Or similarly, the Malbim, in his comments in Parsha Shmos, and the pasuk of Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to remove his shoes because Hamakom Asher Omen Olav Ad Mas Kodesh Hu, the time of the burning bush, the place where he was standing was holy, and therefore he had to remove his shoes. So the Malbim there quotes from Rabbeinu Bach in Parshas Kisetze, who explains that that's why a man who's performing chalitza with his sister-in-law, who he refuses to marry, also she removes his shoe. Why is she taking off his shoe and then spitting in the shoe? What's the whole business with the shoes and chalitza? So he explains, because if a person will marry his late brother's wife, and that will perpetuate his name, Lachim Shem Lachim, then he's able to keep his shoes on, because then the guf has remained together with the neshama, and it's kilu, his brother's neshama, is carrying on with his children. However, if a person refuses to marry his late brother's sister, late brother's wife, so then he is denying his brother's, the continuation of his legacy, and therefore he has to take off his shoes again out of a recognition of the fact that now his brother's neshama will be entirely detached from his guf, and the guf of his children as well, because he will not have any children by virtue of the fact that he refuses to marry his late brother's wife. So again, in that context as well, where a person removes their shoes. So in the footnotes there to the Ruach Chaim, at the beginning of Masechtas Avos, the son of Reb Chaim Volozhin, or Reb Yitzchak Volozhin, also quotes from the Shulah HaKadosh in his comments on Parasha Shmos as well, and that pasuk, Shal Na'alech Me'al Raglech, Ke'makom Ha'Omer Ovad Mas Kodesh Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu had to remove his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. And the reason why a person has to remove their shoes when they're standing on holy ground is because our body, in a certain sense, is a hefsik, is a barrier between ourselves and this world. But when a person is standing in a place that is kadosh, he wants to connect to it entirely, to allow his neshama to connect with the kedusha of the makom, of the place of the mikdash, and therefore a person has to remove his shoes in that location in order so that the body should not be, or the shoe should not be, a hefsek between himself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, specifically, perhaps, leather shoes. Why leather shoes? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu housed us in leather bodies, right, in bodies made of skin, in order to protect us, to serve as a barrier between ourselves, the neshama, and the outside world. So therefore, you know, canvas or some other synthetic material doesn't have that same symbolism. It's specifically shoes that are made out of leather, similar to our bodies that are also made out of skin and leather, that serve as a barrier between the spiritual world and the physical world. So when a person encounters something that's entirely spiritual or of a high spiritual concentration, and he wants to connect to it, he removes his shoes. What kind of shoes? Specifically the leather shoes that serve as a barrier between the physical world and the spiritual world. And in that, with this in mind, it's not so surprising that in Yom Kippurim, as the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells us, a person wants to connect or to become similar to Malachim, just like the angels do not eat or drink. So to on Yom Kippurim, we attempt to emulate the angels, and we don't eat or drink. We wear white, one of the explanations for wearing a kittel. In Yom Kippurim is to become Doma L'Malachim. And many of our other practices that we have in Yom Kippurim is in order to become similar to the Malachim, again, who don't have this kind of exterior shell that separates between their spiritual selves and the physical world, because they don't live within the physical world. We do, we need a guf. However, on Yom Kippur, where we're attempting to emulate the Malachim, again, we remove our shoes, specifically the leather shoes, symbolizing the guf, in an attempt to connect our spiritual selves directly with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I think that's one of perhaps of the explanations why we take off our shoes, or specifically our leather shoes on Yom Kippur. There are other famous explanations, just in order to be intellectually honest. Other famous explanations why it is that we take off. I think this is true without a doubt. There's other reasons why we take off our shoes on Yom Kippurim, and specifically leather shoes. One of the reasons that we take off our shoes on Yom Kippur, and this seems to be obvious, is based on the pasuk in Sefer Amos, which tells us, "Kaimar Hashem al shleisha pishe Yisrael v'arba lo yashiveno." Kadosh Baruch Hu can forgive us for three sins, but not on the fourth, which is al machron bekesef tzadik ve'evyon bavur nagai. For the fact of mechiras Yosef, that we sold, the Shvatim sold their brother Yosef, and not only did they sell him into slavery, they sold him, you know, for a pair of shoes, because when they were negotiating with the Yishma'elim, the traveling group of a salesman, so one of the things that they threw into the sale was a pair of shoes together with Yosef. So they sold him for a pair of shoes. That's what the Daz Akademi Bali Atayis writes in Parshas Vayeshev, when they sold Yosef into slavery, that they sold him for a pair of shoes. That's why also in the piyut of Ela Eskra that describes Asara Ruge Malchus that serves as a kapar for the 10 Shvatim that participated in the Mechiras Yosef, again we mention Uba'adna Alayim Nisanuhu. They sold him for a pair of shoes. So one of the reasons why we take off our shoes on Yom Kippur is because in Yom Kippur we're trying to be mechaper not only for Averis that have been Adam Lamakoyim, represented by the most obvious one, which is the Chet HaEgel, but we also attempt to be mechaper of the Averis that are ben Adam l'chaveroi, represented by the most prominent one of that category, which is Mechiras Yosef. So that's why on Yom Kippur we bring a par, keneged the Chet HaEgel, we bring a seir, a goat, keneged the Mechiras Yosef, because they dip the coat of Yosef in the blood of a goat, and as part of that, we also remove our shoes to remind ourselves that we sold Yosef into slavery, but they included in the sale a pair of shoes. That's also why our Nusach of Vidoy in Yom Kippur reflects the Nusach of Vidoy of recognition of regret that the Shvatim uttered when they found out that Yosef was still alive, right? We say, Aval, Anachnu Bavaseinu Chatanu, but we sinned and our father sinned. Why do we begin but? How does Aval fit into the sentence? So many explain that it's really echoing the language of regret that the Shvatim had when they found out Yosef was still alive, where they stated at that time of Hashemim Anachnu Alachinu Asher Reinu Asaras Nafshu Chanu Alein Bo Shamanu. We saw him screaming out to us and we ignored him. But there they wrote Aval Hashemim Anachnu. We thought we were justified in selling him, but we were guilty of not hearing his cries as he was pleading with us. So there, since they used the word aval on Nusach Avida that we use in Yom Kippur, we also use the word aval. So maybe the shoes are connected not only because we're attempting to strip ourselves of our physical impediment, the barriers between ourselves and the spirit, and this connecting spiritually with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's also perhaps somewhat of an indication that we're attempting to be mechaper from Mechiras Yosef. One final fantastic explanation about why we remove our shoes on Yom Kippur is not only because of the two other things that we mentioned, which I think are absolutely true, but perhaps a third element as well, is mentioned by Yosef Shaul Nathanson in his Shuvas in the Shaul Meshiv, which is also mamish fantastic. He suggests that it's because we know there are four entities that the philosophers described that exist within the world. There's doimim, right? Something which neither is not really alive, like a rock. Then you have tsomeach, something is alive, like a plant, but of course has no it doesn't have ability to move around or anything. Then you have a chai, right, an animal that can move around and is alive in a greater sense than just a plant that just grows. And then you have human beings. You have a medaber, the fourth category. And we, of course, are at the top of the pyramid, right, the food chain, because we are what Kadosh Baruch Hu intended when he created the world, and the rest of it is here to serve us. And therefore, we are superior to everything else in the Bria, which is inferior to us. And we express that by taking animal skins, which are right below us on the food chain, right on this pyramid, this hierarchy that exists within the world, and we take them and make shoes out of them to show that we can take, at least, you used to be able to do this without the groups being all over you, but we were able to take shoes and take the leather of animals, make shoes out of them, and to wear them around on our feet to show that we are superior, and we are the reason why, of course, one shouldn't be cruel in doing so, but, the animals are here to serve us and the human civilization. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu put them here in the world in the first place, and we express that by taking animal skins and wearing them as our shoes. So it shows really our control that exists within the world. However, there are certain times in life when a person does not feel in control. If a person, Leilenu, loses a relative, so then they take off their shoes because we don't feel like we're in control. We recognize it's really the Ribbono Shel Olam who's the one who's in control. A person visits the Makom HaMikdash, he takes off his shoes. You know why we wear shoes? To show we're in control. We're superior in the world. We're the ones who are running the show. Comes with the Makom HaMikdash, we recognize we're not in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And so too on Yom HaKippurim as well, a person takes off his shoes because the whole yesterday year we fool ourselves to thinking, we're in charge of what's going on, of our own lives, we're making decisions, we're the one who's in the driver's seat. Comes Yom Kippur, we take off our shoes, they say, we realize we're not in charge at all, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who runs the world. I commented this Yom Kippur, I think this is more true than any other year. I don't know any other year where where we literally felt like, or literally saw throughout the year, that we are not the ones in charge. The powers that we think really run the world do not run the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated in profound fashion through this unfortunate and terrible and tragic pandemic that a Kadosh Baruch Hu fears the veil. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge. And perhaps that's also another element of why we remove our shoes in Yom Kippur.